It's great to see you here today, and thank you for making the effort to come along and to just celebrate Christmas. You know, as I look around, I think to myself, do people actually know the meaning of Christmas? Do they actually know that today, we know it's not the actual day that Jesus was born, but this is the day that we celebrate his birth. And I haven't done so much of that this year. In fact, I haven't done any of it. But over the years, I've been rather interested in what various people think the real meaning of Christmas is. And you know, it's a mixture of what actually people think the real meaning of this season is. People sometimes get some idea, but they don't really know. And I was thinking the other day, is it because we as church, for want of a better word, don't actually let people know what it really is? But just over a week ago, Muriel and I were at a carol service and up in central London, and J. John, who is quite a well-known Christian speaker, I think he's now a canon in the Church of England. I don't know why I went and done that, but there you are. It's all about choices, isn't it? And he was invited on to a live BBC Radio 4, Radio 5 program. And the lady said to him, you know, do you know the real meaning of Christmas? And he said, yes, I do. And before he could get any more words out, she said, it's about consumerism, isn't it? It's about, you know, it's about gifts and it's about money. He said, no, it's not. She said, oh, yes, it is. And there was this argument developed on the radio about, you know, what the real meaning of this season is. In the end, I think they abandoned the program because, you know, it was obviously, you know, two people who were not going to see eye to eye. And J. John, of course, would have had the real meaning, the gift of Jesus to the world. But obviously, the BBC's interviewer didn't want to know about that. That's probably not really a real surprise, because when we look at the heads of Department of Religious Education and Religious Thoughts and Thought for the Day on our television and on our radio, it's not much wonder that people don't know the real meaning of this season that we as believers can come and celebrate. See, it's nice to see people here today and visitors with us and family, because it is an opportunity to celebrate the gift that we have got. I mean, to say lots of gifts. I was quite interested in some of the gifts. I was thinking about Karis some time ago, chopping half her hair off along the front. I don't know why she done it. I thought maybe it was maybe in her eyes, or she was just wanting to look a bit sleek, you know, have your hair short. And it reminded me of when I was quite a young boy, and I was given for Christmas a new pair of kid gloves, you know, fur-lined kid gloves. And I got scissors out as well. And I cut all the fingers off here in the new gloves. And my parents said, why did you do that? And I said, I just wanted to be like Sam the milkman. Now, the milkman in the winter with his horse and cart, he would have gloves and he would have them chopped off here so that he could hold on to the milk bottles. So I wasn't flavor of the day either. So it's interesting the things that we do when we're younger. I've had many ups and downs since then with Christmas trees. I've actually fallen into the Christmas trees where Muriel was supposed to help me, but she stood and laughed because...
And rightly so.
And rightly so. But it's good to come together, and I have a few thoughts today, which I'm going to give you. There's a bit of work here because I'm going to look at the Christmas story from Luke chapter 2. And I'm going to do a bit of stretching, not physically, but just with some of the words that are in there. And there are quite a number of words in there that begin with the letter S. So you'll have to stay awake, because if I miss one, then you're going to have to tell me in the end. I think the thing is that what I find is that when I read through that particular chapter, even the whole book of Luke, it was a book that was written by Dr. Luke, but it was good news for everybody. Because when you look through there, his message is for the Son of Man who came to this earth. And it's rather interesting because although he wrote this fantastic book of Luke, Dr. Luke, he is only actually mentioned on three other occasions in the Word of God. He presents Jesus Christ as the compassionate Son of Man who came to live among us. In the Gospel, you meet individuals, you meet crowds, you meet women, you meet children, you meet rich, you meet the poor, you meet sinners, and you meet saints as well. In it, there is a message for us. Good tidings of great joy, which is brought to all people. Only, as I say, three times is he mentioned in the Bible. As I said, most of my points start with S. And one of them is in the Luke's Gospel, it starts with the Mary. We'll start with Mary. That's always a good start in the Christmas story. Mary's surprise. For among the Jews at the time that Mary was pregnant with Jesus, an engagement was as binding as an actual marriage. And of course, in her situation, it was difficult as a young woman, probably just still in her teenage years, to be pregnant. She certainly had never expected to see an angel, but angel came and told her that she was having special favors from heaven. Then there was Mary's surrender. Mary knew what would happen, but she didn't know how it would happen. She believed the promise, but she did not understand the performance. How could a virgin give birth to a child? Thing is that Luke chapter 2 may be the most familiar and beloved portion of Scripture in the Gospel. As I was reading through the story again over the last couple of weeks, another S, Syria. What do you know about Syria? Possibly not a lot. It used to be on the news quite a bit many, many years ago because of all the problems. And as I sort of looked at it and I done a Graham Mercer and I Googled it, you don't learn an awful lot about Syria at all. But here it is in the Bible. And it's just interesting. They are organized in some ways because they actually do have a president of Syria. But it's another one of these countries in our world that has been inundated from time to time with problems. But it's in there. I'm sure someone will come back and tell me a story about Syria. But we don't hear very much about it today. I don't think Graham has ever had a building project there yet. But you never know. You know, because we know these companies travel throughout the world, not just in the UK. You know, it had its ups and downs as a nation, but yet there it is in the Bible. Graham very eloquently the other day spoke about shepherds. Another S. Shepherds living out in the fields. Possibly the most menial of jobs, not highly rated work. But an angel of the Lord appeared to angels as they watched their flocks by night. The thing is that we still have shepherds today. Apparently, if you go to the north of Scotland, I suppose, in the present severe winter that we're having, they probably had to have a plan too. But we're still shepherds up in Scotland. People always think that when they're thinking of some almost unusual tasks that they go to Ireland for them, but we have a history of our own. But the thing is that shepherds, I don't know if you've ever taken the opportunity, because very often when you get into right out into the real country, there are lots of sheep around. Shepherds, yes, look after sheep, yes. That's simple, isn't it? I don't want this to put you off your dinner, by the way, but the thing is that you will remember the simple things, and as a simple person, I thought that a good way to present it. Sheep are quite unusual. And apparently the only way that you can get a sheep to do something or to respond to you is to have some grass and give it the grass, and then it'll move or it'll do whatever. But they have a mind of their own. It's good exercise for you to do when you're on your next holiday and there's a field full of sheep. And if you go to the gate or where they come in or out, and you stand there, and one of the sheep sees you, then it'll come to you Next thing you know is, then they all get up and they come to you. So they're not the most intelligent creatures in the world. And I'm so pleased that I'm called Lamb. Otherwise, people would have thought that I would have been like some of those creatures that just didn't do their own thing. Of course, the shepherds, when the angel appeared, another S, they were shocked. They were surprised. So it tells us that the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. They were shocked. I suppose it's reasonable to think about them being shocked. Various things happen to people when they're shocked. They don't always take things calmly. Just in the past week or so, it was interesting when I was thinking about shock and that, I had to go to the doctors to have my blood pressure retaken. And I had taken it 2 weeks previously when I went with Muriel, but our doctor's a Muslim, and we got into such a conversation that he recorded Muriel's blood pressure on the screen, but he took mine and he didn't record it. That's not because he wanted to see me again, I don't think. I just think he got carried away talking about Christmas. And I went to have my blood pressure taken. The nurse said, sit down, I'll take your blood pressure. And she began to tell us quite a sad story about her daughter who had died in Africa, having an operation which should have been just a formality. And she took my blood pressure, and then she didn't say anything. Then she again took my blood pressure, and she said, that's better. And I said, excuse me, I said, well, why is it better? She said, well, when I took it the first time, it was quite high. But after I'd been left for about 10 or 15 minutes, then it went down. Well, you who are nurses here and ex-nurses, then you would know that sort of shock, although I didn't really register a shock with me, sent my blood pressure up. So it's not much wonder that we see these things. These people were shocked. Then, when we look at the whole account, another S, simplicity. It was simple. Everything wasn't high profile. It was simple. Shelter. There was no shelter for Jesus in the inn. Innkeeper said, no room. I wonder for us today, how do we look at the Savior of the world? Has he room in our hearts? Have we room for him? Then, just as I draw this to a conclusion, the last S that I've got is Savior. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Wonder today, do each one of us have that assurance, having the Prince of Peace in our lives? If you haven't, well, great opportunity today. just where you sit in your seat, to be able to say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life. And if we sincerely mean it, He will do it, because He has promised that He will. Unto us a child is born, son is given. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for this Christmas day when we can celebrate with joy You coming as a gift to each one of us. Lord, we will be surrounded with gifts, and Lord, a really good time today. And Lord, we pray as we do that we will remember the great shepherd of the sheep. Lord, we thank You, and Lord, we bless You today. We pray that, Lord, for all of us here and our families, that we would continue to, Lord, acknowledge You and to share You with other people, those that don't know You. Lord, it's not a secret. It's something that is available to all. So today, we thank You and we bless You and we, Lord, pray for those in our families today. Lord, members of our families who perhaps today don't even know You, or, Lord, have gone back from You, gone away from You, that it would be an opportunity just to be a good witness. Lord, give each one of us the boldness to be good witnesses for You. We give You thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.